scripture this morning is First John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, this was not my original text that I wanted to preach on. I had originally chosen Mark chapter 10, verse 21, which says, and let's see, I don't have my cheaters with me. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Well, I had originally focused on Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'll be able to find all sorts of good things, and I'll just knock their socks off. Well, the more I researched, the less I found on what I wanted to preach on, which is the love of Jesus and the love of God. So I thought, well, golly, do I just scrap it, or do I try to make it fit? And then I thought of all things, Cinderella. Remember the glass slipper? And how the wicked stepsisters were trying to get their feet in that glass slipper, trying to make it fit. And as you know, I grew up, my first job was a shoe salesman. And I can remember, you know, people would come in and they'd want a style of shoe, but I didn't have their size. Well, let me try another size. You know, if it's too big, your foot swims around and you're going to rub a blister. If it's too small, you're not going to be comfortable in the shoes. And I thought, you know, God's word is not something that you try to shoehorn something into. And so I chose this verse because it displays God's love in so many different ways. So, and then I thought, okay, let the Holy Spirit lead. The Holy Spirit led me to this scripture. And also, I thought of 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, No shoehorn scripture today. So my first topic, and there are three. The three topics are God is great, God is good, and God is love. So God is great. If we turn to Psalms chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. I mean, how great is that? If you've ever looked at the night sky or even, you know, in the daytime, you see the clouds, you see the blue sky. If it's cloudy, you see a gray sky. God created all this. We are living and breathing today because of God's greatness. Now, he created this world for us, and it's awesome. And then, again, Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of? But God is mindful of us. He didn't create all this just for himself. He created it for us as well. And we are to be stewards of that. So not only does he provide clothing and food, but he also provides for our salvation as well through his Son, Jesus Christ. And how great is that? So our God has displayed his greatness both here on earth and throughout the universe. We even have hymns. How great thou art. Great is thy faithfulness. These are all telling us of God's greatness. And he is the creator of all things. And we see in John, the very first chapter of the book of John, which we're still in, that Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was the Word made all things. So we see Jesus in the creation as well. So how great is that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see in Genesis, the first chapter, that the Spirit of God moved on the waters. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in creation. So God is great. The next topic, God is good. So in Genesis, we see that God's creation is good. Genesis 1:4, Genesis 1:10, Genesis 1:12, Genesis 1:18, Genesis 1:21, and Genesis 1:25. So God created the light. That's the very first thing. Then God created the land and the waters. Now, he created the light, and what did he see? He saw that it was good. He created the land and the waters. And what happened after that? He saw that it was good. He created the plants and fruits. After that, he saw that it was good. Then he created the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He saw that that was good as well. Then the creatures, or the sea creatures, and the birds, and the land animals, and lastly, man. And when he had finished, we see Genesis verse 31, that it was very good. So God is all good. His creation proves his intrinsic goodness. In Psalm 25, verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. So, he instructs us. That is part of God's goodness. You know, and to display that towards us, you know, sinful creatures, how great is that? You know? So, in Psalm 119, verse 68, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, and here, you know, it's close to where I wanted to preach originally, but the rich young ruler had said to Jesus, and let me get it right, so let me turn here to Mark chapter 10. So he said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus answered, why do you call me good? no one is good except God alone. So we see directly from the Son's mouth God's goodness. So who would know better than the Son how good the Father is? So the next topic is God is love. And if we read in the King James Version of 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, the verse that was up on the screen a little while ago said he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice. I like propitiation, but there is, some don't like it. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, what does propitiation mean? Propitiation definition means averting the wrath of God by the offering of a gift. It refers to the turning away of the wrath of God, just as the just judgment of our sin by God's own provision of a sacrifice in Jesus Christ on the cross. So, simply put, God not only requires a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, but he provides that sacrifice for us, thus supplying the demands of God's holy justice and wrath against sin. So it would kind of be like if you've ever gotten a traffic ticket and the judge is going to issue you a fine for that ticket, but the judge pays the ticket for you. That's the atoning sacrifice that we're talking about for God. It's much more precious than a traffic ticket. There's no way we could repay what we owe God, you know, without the sacrifice of his Son. So there are numerous scriptures of God's love. You know, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that so whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I mean, why would God give so wicked a race of people such a wonderful gift as eternal life with his Son? But like we pointed out this morning in Bible study, you have to accept that gift. You know, a gift can be given. Let's say you've got a gift at Christmas and somebody gives you a gift, but you don't open it. You know, is that gift effective? No. But once you accept that gift and you open it, then the preciousness shows up. So also in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So we're to love one another. And it's of God that we love one another. You know, I know Bruce loves Pam. I love my wife. Gabby loves Shirley. And, you know, we should all love one another. and show our love. So God is love, and Jesus himself says, people will know you are my disciples when you love one another. And that's what we all should do. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. So it's the will of our Father that we love one another and that we should show our love abroad so that others may see our love and wonder about it and ask, you know, I see your love, you know, what makes you love? And you can tell them, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins and yours. That love should be shed abroad, you know, throughout the world. Also, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, and I'm glad I opened it before that bookmark dropped, because otherwise I would have been stumbling up here. So, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, love is perfect. God's love is perfect. And he wants us all to love each other and others. Now, as I researched this, I stumbled upon a sermon by Charles Haddon Spurgeon on this very subject. Now, Spurgeon wrote 15 pages, and I think we wouldn't make we wouldn't beat the Catholics if I read the whole. So Spurgeon said in his sermon on this verse, he asked his listeners to think back through time and eternity and discover that they were there in the mind of God in the creation of the earth. Just think about that. We were in the mind, every one of us here were in the mind of God from the creation of the world. Before there was even light, we were in the mind of God. I mean, wow. That blows your mind. It did mine. And he loved us even back then. And he provides for our salvation through his Son. So it's not that we love God, but that he first loved us. No matter how unlovable or vile we may be, he loves us and wants us to accept his gift of redemption through his Son. You know, it makes me smile. It fills my heart And I just, you can't keep that in. You got to show your love towards others. And I know my wife is probably sitting there and said, "You should do that more, Jim." So, and she's right. I can be abrasive. And I ask for your forgiveness if I've ever offended anyone with my abrasiveness. Shame on me. But because of God's love for us, should we not return that back to him? Should we not worship him as his creator and just thank him for the love he's shown us? Christ never denied us, even on the cross. On the cross, he even talked to the thief who asked him to remember him when he came to his father. And what was Jesus' answer? "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, isn't that love? And even in torment and torture, he submitted to his father's will. You know, he went to Calvary. Well, but before that, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass, but not my will, but yours."